All right. I want to tell you all that you are in great voice tonight, but I can't hear you. From the look of some screens, I think people are really belting it out, which is great. So well done. And thank you, Claire, for leading worship. I want to say good evening to you all. We're going to look at God's word together. And so I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. And I'm going to put in the chat, if you don't have that, hopefully to everybody, just a link to the text that I'm using. 1 Thessalonians, way towards the back of the Bible, right after Colossians, before, you guessed it, 2 Thessalonians. And before we get into it, let me just encourage us again to remember why we look at God's word. You know, God's, we believe together at Good Shepherd Mission that God's word speaks to us from long ago. Even though it's a letter today that we're looking at from a guy named Paul, written to a bunch of people who lived a long time ago, we believe that it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that it's truth for us today. And so we see these as God's words to us about who he is and how he loves us. All right, so just a little bit of background to 1 Thessalonians. We're looking at a letter written by a man named Paul. You might know him as St. Paul, one of the early preachers. We learned about him in Acts, if you were with us for the Acts survey or the Acts study over the last couple of months. He would travel around with his team and tell people about Jesus. This would have been back around AD 50. And when he wasn't traveling and speaking, he was often writing letters to the people that he had visited. So he would have loved, I think Paul would have been a great emailer or a texter. Like, he just loved being in touch with people when he couldn't be with them. And so 1 Thessalonians was a letter written to new followers of Jesus. It's a short letter, it's 89 verses, and was written at a time when Paul longed to visit them in person, but he wasn't able to. Sound familiar? And it was also during a time when things were just hard, and they needed encouragement. They were facing religious opposition. And so just to kind of give us a sneak peek at what's ahead, this is a 1-minute video that Jen's going to play to give you some background.
Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. This is most likely the earliest letter that we have from Paul, and the backstory for it is found in the book of Acts. It's where Paul and his co-worker Silas went to the ancient Greek city of Thessalonica. And after just 1 month of telling people the good news about Jesus, a large number of Jewish and Greek people gave their allegiance to Jesus, and they formed the first church community there. But trouble was brewing. Paul's announcement of the risen Jesus as the true Lord of the world, it led to suspicion. So the Christians in Thessalonica were eventually accused of defying Caesar, the Roman emperor, when they said that there is another king, Jesus. And this led to a persecution that got so intense, Paul and Silas actually had to flee from the city. And this was painful for them because they loved the people there so much. And so this letter is Paul's attempt to reconnect with the Christians in Thessalonica after he got a report from Timothy that they were doing more than okay. They were flourishing despite this intense persecution.
All right, so a little bit of a taster there. That's a 7-minute long video. It's worth checking out sometime if you'd like. Why us? Why this now? I think that's the next question we should get to. You know, the message of Thessalonians in many ways is how to live with hope in troubled times. And so we may not, or you may not, be suffering religious persecution right now, but I know that for lots of us, this has been a really tough week in a difficult month after a difficult year. And so, you know, at the heart of what I'm hoping for that we get out of this talk tonight and also this series is really words straight out of Paul's mouth in verse 6 of the text we're looking at tonight. So in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, he says, "You welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy that's given by the Holy Spirit." And so I'm praying that you will receive this message of encouragement with joy from the Holy Spirit right in the middle of whatever you are going through right now. In fact, I want to pray for that now as we start. So let me pray. We invite you, Holy Spirit, now to just release joy as this message is shared. Not my message, but your word. As we open your word, God, and come under it and listen to what you have to say for us, as it stretches across time from the people Paul was writing to our very hearts and minds, would you bring joy to this message and enable us to not just be hearers of your word, but doers as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's get right into it. I'm going to read all the way through. It's just 10 verses, so I'll read through and then we'll have a kind of a slow walkthrough together. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy, this is in verse 1, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what happened when we visited you. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So right there at the top, we, Paul writes, and he kind of copies in his teammates right into the group chat. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And then look at all the places where Paul writes, we. You know, he says, we thank God in verse 2. We remember in verse 3. We know in verse 4. We lived among you in verse 5. Just in these 10 short verses, we see people remembering other people, imitating others, people welcoming others, people boasting about the faith of others. Brothers and sisters, you are not alone. That's the first message of this chapter in this letter. You're not alone. So Paul writes together with his friends to the church of the Thessalonians in God and Christ. You know, he doesn't say to you guys in Bethnal Green or in Bow or on Zoom. He says to you in God and Christ, grace and peace. He offers his standard greeting, grace and peace. And then look at how Paul prays. I think this is an encouragement to us just to remember what prayer is like. Verse 2, he gives thanks. Okay, all prayer, in essence, is a form of gratitude. It starts with gratitude and saying thanks, gives thanks, and then he mentions people to God. You see how he does that? And then he remembers what God is doing in their lives. So I think this is a great kind of reminder of what prayer is about. Prayer is thanking, and it's mentioning people, and it's remembering what God is up to in their lives. And one of the things about this letter, as you see in the coming weeks, in the coming chapters, you see how Paul prays in this letter, which is really encouraging to you. So what is it that Paul remembers when he remembers his friends before God? He remembers verse 3, your work produced by faith. You know, their beliefs put to action. He remembers your labor prompted by love. You know, their motivation for why they do what they do. And then he remembers your endurance inspired by hope in Jesus. You get the idea that these Christians, these new Christians, weren't just passive, they were active. Look at those words, work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, endurance inspired by hope. They're not just talking the talk, but they're walking the walk. And Paul writes later, your actions, they speak for themselves. He says that in verse 8. Did you catch that? So how many of us know someone that when we think of them, we just can't help but be thankful for the way that they live out their faith in Jesus? Maybe you know someone like that. Maybe you have somebody like that in your life. They're not perfect, but they're living it out, and it's an encouragement, and it's an example. So what's Paul do next? In verse 4, he reminds them of their identity. And this is so important to us right now. Some of us just need to remember this right now, tonight, who we are. First of all, Paul calls them brothers and sisters in verse 4. When you follow Jesus, you become a part of a huge extended family. You're connected to something bigger than yourself. And then Paul reminds them, you are loved by God. And then he says, you are chosen by God. And some of you just need to hear that today and remember it. You are loved by God. You are chosen by God. And if you're following Jesus in faith, then you are a brother or a sister in God's family. And then, because of our gospel, he writes next in verse 5, because of our gospel, there's that word gospel. Let me explain it for just a minute. The gospel simply means good news. And in this case, Paul and his friends visited people and stayed with them a few weeks to teach about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, he describes the gospel really well in the last couple of verses that we're looking at today. Look at verse 9. First of all, he says that God, our God, is living and true. And then in verse 10, he says that Jesus is from heaven, that he died and then was raised from the dead, and that Jesus, by doing this, rescues us from the coming wrath. So Paul actually mentions this all through his letter. He mentions it at the end of every chapter, in fact, that one day this world as we know it is going to end. And at that time, Jesus will return again from heaven to rescue his followers from wrath and from destruction. And so that leaves everyone, every single human who ever lived on earth, facing two realities at the end of time: the rescue of Jesus offered to those who believe and trust in him, or wrath and destruction in the final judgment. And I don't know how that lands with you, but you might be thinking right now, okay, that sounds really good to me. What do I do to be rescued by Jesus? Well, Paul's already mentioned it in what we've read. In fact, look at verse 6. He says, first, receive this message and believe it in faith. And then second, verse 9, it says, turn away from your idols. That means repent. Let go of anything that you're clinging to that isn't life in God. Let go of anything that you're clinging to in your life that isn't God. Let go of your hurts, your habits, your hangups. And that message, Paul says, is really powerful because it can completely change lives. It's not just a bunch of words. Look at verse 5. Paul goes on to say, because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. Paul says, we didn't just talk about this stuff. We lived it out in front of you. And you started to live it out too by following our example. So verse 6 says, you became imitators of us and of Jesus. And pretty soon you were living it out for others to see and learn from too. Verse 7, you became a model to all the believers in the area. And then not just in that area, but everywhere. In verse 8, Paul says, the Lord's message rang out from you so that your faith in God has become known everywhere. So Paul writes, we don't even have to talk about you guys anymore because the word has gone out on its own. And so friends, the gospel isn't just a bunch of words about Jesus. It's about how we live and learn from one another. And this is the part of what I love about being a follower of Jesus, seeing how you all live it out so that I can learn from you and I can try it out for myself and other people might learn from me. You know, a friend of mine has started sending me a list of 5 things that he's thankful for every day in WhatsApp. And it's such an example to me of gratitude. I was so inspired by it. I started doing it every morning in my journal. I'm not quite at the point of texting that out to a bunch of friends yet, but you know, from some of you guys, I've learned how you're parenting your children. And I've learned how you love and serve someone that you're close to who is really sick with an illness. I've learned from some of you guys how to pray with passion and with joy. And I'm learning how, you know, you are living out forgiveness and reconciliation, even when it hurts. You know, from you guys, I learn how some of you speak about Jesus every opportunity you get. So I'm learning from you guys. And that's what Paul's writing about, that the gospel keeps going out. You know, and at this point, I want to point out this language here in verse 8 when he says that it rang out. That kind of means, that word there means resounded, sort of like a bell that sort of peals and then echoes. I have an example of this. In the past number of weeks, we in the Prince household have been living with an Echo. And I don't mean the kind made by Amazon. It turns out our youngest child, I won't name any names, has developed a habit of repeating almost word for word everything that comes out of our mouths. I think it started when he came up with a really good Donald Trump impersonation. And it was funny at first, but then it became maddening. Now, anytime our youngest starts to parrot something that I've just said to him, when he says it back to me, I warn him that he's developing a reputation for repetition. And then I say it again, a reputation for repetition, which has become its own funny echo in our house. But that's exactly it. That's how Paul says that the way of Jesus is passed on from one person to the next. Verse 6, he says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord while we lived with you. And then in verse 8, he says, then it echoed out from you all over the place to the point where we don't even have to say anything because people are already talking about it. And that's kind of the core message in this part of Paul's letter, that the message of Jesus is unstoppable when it's received with joy and it's repeated in our loving actions towards others. And this is the moment where I so want to resist using the example of the highly contagious virus right now, but that's exactly what it's like. You know, one person catches it and then before you know it, it's everywhere. People live differently as a result. People are talking about it and hearing about it everywhere. I don't want to use that example, and so I'm not going to. Well, it turns out that Paul repeats himself like a bit of an echo here as well. And it's at the end of this chapter. And that's where I want to focus just for the remainder of the time. Right at the end, he repeats what he said earlier about faith, love, and hope. Can you see it? In verse 3, just as a reminder, he says, when I pray for you, I remember three things: your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by your hope in Jesus. Do you see that? Now look at verses 9 and 10. You turned to God from idols, that's faith, to serve the living and true God, that's the labor of love, and to wait for his son from heaven, that's hope. In fact, some languages use the same word for wait and hope. So let me suggest to us tonight, your faith is what you turn to in times of suffering. We all do it, whether we are following Jesus or not. In times of suffering or difficulty, I can either turn to my habits for comfort or distraction, or I can remember my identity, that I'm loved by God, that I'm chosen by him, that I'm part of his family. Faith is remembering not just who I am, but who God is, that he's living and true, that he sent his son to defeat death and to rescue me from punishment. And so today I would invite you to grow in faith, to deepen your faith instead of living in fear. So how do we do that? I mean, let me give you two ways to grow your faith in 2021. And the first is by remembering God's promises in the past. That's why we read the Bible together. And the second one is by spending time learning from and even imitating people with faith. Your faith is what you turn to in times of suffering. And so let me ask you, and I'm asking myself as well, in 2021 and in lockdown 3.0, what will you turn to? Dead and meaningless idols or the living and true God? And if faith is about remembering God's faithfulness in the past, hope is about looking ahead to the future. So let me say this, your hope is whatever you are truly waiting for. And we all have things we're waiting for. You know, you have them, I have them. We're waiting for the vaccine, or we're waiting for the next political leader to come onto the scene and to change things around. We're waiting for test results or for a hospital bed. We're waiting for things to get back to normal. You know, we're waiting for the queue just to get into Tesco. We're waiting for things that we can hope for again or look forward to. Paul writes that we can wait with endurance, inspired by hope, the hope of heaven, the return of King Jesus, and things being made right. And I don't know about you, but I can sometimes wait, and it's a hurried waiting more than a hopeful waiting. I'm talking about looking at my watch, you know, tapping my foot, waiting. But when we wait in hope, we're at ease. We can endure suffering and hardship because we know God is in control and that his promises are true. And so I want to invite you in 2021 to wait for the return of Jesus in hope rather than in hurry and anxiety. When I was growing up, we had a piano in the house, and my father, who was not always known for his patience, would signal to the rest of the family that he was ready to go somewhere by playing the piano. It was genius because rather than stand in the doorway and kind of bark out orders in a hurried or anxious way while we scurried around to get our shoes and our coats or to pile into the car together to go somewhere, he would simply sit down and start playing something on the piano, usually loud enough for us all to hear it. And that's when we knew Dad was ready and it was time to go. And I still sometimes have that same response when I hear piano music. I start reaching for my shoelaces or fumbling for my keys. Dad is ready. Now I look back at it and I think, what a gracious, non-anxious way to spend the time waiting for the rest of the family to get their act together and to get out the door. He could have done a lot worse. I know I have. See, if faith is what you turn to in times of suffering, and hope is whatever you're truly waiting for, then love is what you do in the waiting. Paul says to the Jesus followers in Thessalonica, I thank God for your labor of love. And he says, you guys are known all over the place now for the way you give and serve out of love. And this is what I want to encourage us towards as well for 2021, that in a season when our faith is stretched and our hope seems to be running thin, find a place to roll up your sleeves and serve from a place of love instead of giving in to the loneliness. Have you ever noticed that serving in love is often the answer to feeling isolated or down? Just get involved somewhere. And there's probably someone on your street right now who just needs a plate of cookies brought to their door, you know, or an NHS worker you know who just needs a boost of encouragement and joy, or a coworker who could really use help with this week's grocery shop. See, it doesn't need to be a big, expensive charity or program. It just is a simple labor of love. And not only is it good for the other person, but serving in love puts your faith in action and it builds up your hope. Paul says that when you serve this way, you're no longer serving idols, you're serving the living God. Love is what you do in the waiting. So we're coming up on the anniversary of the birthday of American civil rights leader, Martin Luther King Jr. He was born January 15th, 1929. And I've been reading through a short collection of his printed sermons called Strength to Love. And this caught my eye in this chapter entitled Antidotes to Fear. It says this: one of the most dedicated participants in the bus protest in Montgomery, Alabama, was an elderly Negro whom we affectionately called Mother Pollard. Although poverty-stricken and uneducated, she was amazingly intelligent and possessed a deep understanding of the meaning of the movement. And after having walked for several weeks, she was asked if she was tired. And with ungrammatical profundity, she answered, my feet is tired, but my soul is rested. I love that. My feet are tired, but my soul is rested. Since that dreary night, this is MLK Jr. Continuing on. Since that dreary night in 1959, Mother Pollard has passed on to glory, and I have known very few quiet days. I've been tortured without end, tormented within by the raging fires of tribulation. I've been forced to muster what strength and courage I have to withstand howling winds of pain and jostling storms of adversity. But as the years have unfolded, the eloquently simple words of Mother Pollard have come back again and again to give light and peace and guidance to my troubled soul. God's going to take care of you. And then he writes this: this faith transforms the whirlwind of despair into a warm and reviving breeze of hope. So how do we learn from and imitate the Thessalonian Christians? When you're losing faith, remember God's promises and his goodness to you in the past. When your love is growing cold, find a place to serve others. And when your hope is running dry, stay awake and wait for the return of Jesus. And when future generations are sharing the stories about those Christians in East London living through a global pandemic, let them say about us that we were growing in faith instead of fear. Let them say about us that we were serving in love instead of living in loneliness. And let them say that we were waiting in the hope of Jesus's return to make things right. So let me pray for us now as we finish. And you may want to just even hold out your hands. And I think I do this kind of maybe just to symbolize letting go of idols, those things you kind of hold on to. And your hands also being ready to serve in love. And then also just open hands that are waiting in hope. And so my brothers and sisters, today I bless you with faith as you remember God's faithfulness to you in the past. And I bless you with love in Jesus' name as you serve in the present. And I bless you with hope as you wait for future glory. Amen.